This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Joining us live from Seattle, Matthew Koller on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. My favorite stadium in all of the NFL, whatever it's called. Is it called Lumen Field now, Matt?
Lumen.
It's called Dave Schwartz Field now. They
Dave Schwartz
changed it today. Yep.
I didn't even have to pay anything. That's great.
They heard you were a great storyteller, and they just decided, it is Lumen Field now.
Lumen Field. Getting ready for a pretty big showdown here today. The Vikings obviously already have that playoff spot locked up. And from what you've talked to and who you've talked to this week, the vibe I'm assuming by the Vikings is it's not good enough to just have that locked up, but there's a whole lot more to do. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there was a lot of different ways of saying one week at a time this week because, I mean, it is one of the big stories, right? I mean, the team makes playoffs in a year where I don't think a lot of people even expected them to make the playoffs, much less have it locked up with 3 weeks to go and to try to chase down the entire NFC. But the advantage to winning your division, the advantage to winning the conference is so absolutely massive that I think everybody understands that. And, you know, Garrett Bradbury kind of joked with us, like, yeah, there's a lot worse things they could be talking about with your team, like the draft order, you know. And instead, it's all the playoff positions. But, you know, the one thing is that they're not actually distracted by the playoffs positions because they know if they win all the games, then they win the conference. It's a pretty simple formula for this team, but they also know that there's three really tough teams that are waiting for them, including Seattle today, really tough game next week against Green Bay, and then, of course, week 18 against the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, I mean, this is a position that the Minnesota Vikings have not been in some time. I guess 2017 would have been the last time we were really talking about winning the whole conference. Maybe a little bit in 2022, but they were kind of fading at that point. This team has gotten stronger as it's gone along down the stretch. So they are in a great position here. But, yeah, nobody's saying, good job, we won the playoffs. They kind of actually laughed at us a little bit about making the playoffs. Like, we didn't celebrate that. We're trying to do much more.
Matthew, a quick question on the health of Seattle. What does it look like right now? Geno Smith, Sam Howell, is it going to be Howell today? Is it going to be Geno Smith? If Geno Smith gets in there, how long does he last? What does it look like to you?
Yeah, Geno Smith practiced in full for the entire week, so he's going to start. And they better hope that he's fine because the way that last week went was just such a joke for Sam Howell. I mean, we, you know, talk about backup quarterbacks all the time, and, you know, a couple times Nick Mullins has come in a game and completed a pass and things like that. Well, last week, Sam Howell didn't look prepared at all. And the thing about Sam Howell is that he takes a ton of sacks. So if he were to have to play today, I mean, that is massive, massive advantage to the Vikings. But the thing about it is the offensive line for Seattle has had a really tough year, and they're facing Brian Flores' defense, Jonathan Grenard at the peak of his powers. You know, Blake Cashman was causing heck for the Chicago Bears last week. So even with Geno Smith, he's done a decent job this season of dealing with the fact that their offensive line is pretty bad, but now being a little bit hobbled, a little bit slowed down, is he able to still move in the pocket as well as he would have before? Because even when we saw Jordan Love have to play against the Vikings, when he was coming off that injury and couldn't quite move as well, he didn't play very well at the very beginning of that game. So, you know, I think Seattle has really leaned so heavily also on Geno Smith. Are they going to try to run the football a little bit more today to you know, get going early on in the game? But they're kind of an offense that just relies on Geno dropping straight back. You know how we talk about the Vikings running play action all the time? Seattle doesn't even really do that. They just drop Geno straight back every single play and hope. And I think Brian Flores should have a pretty good idea of what he's going to be going after today.
Yeah, hope not a great strategy when it comes to professional football. Matthew Collar joining us from Purple Insider on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. You wrote today, and I'm so glad that you did, about Kevin O'Connell and being into the Coach of the Year contention, because I don't think that he's gotten enough talk about this and in respect in this category. But considering where this team was thought to, as you said, be at this point in the year, considering what he did with a cast-off quarterback like Sam Darnold and turned him into what he is, what more does Kevin O'Connell have to do to be considered a lock for Coach of the Year?
Well, he goes 3-0 here. That would be helpful. You know, but you bring up an interesting point that's really fascinated me for the entire year, which is just the lack of attention on the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, even when they were 5-0, it was like, oh, this is kind of a cute story, and I think everybody expected that to go away after they lost two games in a row, that I don't think anyone had them, you know, reeling off the next 7 wins in a row after that. I also think that most people expected Sam Darnold to turn into a pumpkin after that. And that, I think, is where Kevin O'Connell – I mean, there's 100 areas where Kevin O'Connell has done an incredible job this year, but one of the best has been after that Jacksonville game, there was the very real possibility that it just went to hell. And I think we had seen hot and cold streaks from Darnold in the past, and everyone thought, all right, he's going to come out and throw a bunch of interceptions. And the way they worked together to resolve some of the issues that happened in Jacksonville and the performances he put on, it's not crazy to say he's been a top 3 or 4 quarterback in the league since that Jacksonville game. He has played at an MVP type of level, and I think that's great coaching right there from Kevin O'Connell to just put the foundation down to solve the problems. And that wasn't what I wrote about, but that's what has impressed me the most. I think what I wrote about is really, you know, the foundation is a great word for it, because you go all the way back to the offseason, and he's laid the foundation with this team that he thought they were going to be better than this. And it's not just something you say to your team, oh, we're going to show them or something. Kevin O'Connell truly looked around at that roster and said, there is no way that we're going to be at the bottom of the division. We are way too good for this. And then when it starts to come to fruition, everybody buys in. The coach knows what he's talking about. The belief of this team behind him, the selflessness that they have on this roster, the leadership they have. You know, now looking in hindsight with the way he's coached the team, it makes a lot more sense that they're here. 12-2 doesn't make any sense, but it makes a lot more sense that they're in this playoff race, and they've been as good behind Kevin O'Connell as they've been.
Matthew, we've got 12 wins, which is really, really impressive. But the only part that's not is the fact that two of those wins, they only had two winning teams that we beat. So it's one of those things where I think I understand why people still question what the Vikings have been able to do to be 12-2. And their wins were over Houston and Green Bay. But when I look at this whole thing, it's kind of concerning from that standpoint, just a little bit. I'm not saying there's anything terrible about it, and I think Sam Darnold, he did the right thing. He came to a place where we have Justin Jefferson and Addison and Naylor and Hockenson. Hockenson, obviously, most of the year was out, but Oliver stepped up and Munt, and they've done a fantastic job of doing what they need to do to win these football games. Is there anything about this team that you look at and you say, you know what, I am a little bit concerned about this? Mine would be probably Cam Robinson. Well, how about you?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that. He's definitely not on the same level of Christian Darrisaw. I think that the one thing you can go back to a little bit is that some offenses have had a formula to stay on the field. And Arizona was probably their worst game that they've played, and they got away with it, won at the end. But it was probably the worst game that they had played of all of these wins. And what Arizona did was they ran extremely well with James Conner. They threw a lot of short passes with Kyler Murray, and then kind of lucked out when Kyler Murray threw them the football. And I would even say the same thing for the Atlanta game, where Cousins was completing passes and they were running the football and staying on the field all day long, and then Cousins threw them the football. Well, you know, when you go into the playoffs, it's not as likely that the playoff quarterbacks are going to make those huge mistakes, because those other teams are good too. And I do think you make a fair point about the schedule. As much as it's hard to win this many games in a row in the NFL, and there's been some competitive teams that they've faced. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a game in a while that was against a real beast. And I'm not even sure that's today. It's probably next Sunday against the Green Bay Packers is when you play one of those teams that could actually win the Super Bowl. But that has been a while. So the fact that, you know, veteran quarterbacks or teams that can run the ball have been able to sustain drives and keep Justin Jefferson waiting over there on the sideline to go run some routes, that to me is a little bit on the concerning side. I think the only good thing about that is that the Vikings defense should be getting healthier down the stretch, you know, with the fact that Ivan Pace Jr. will get back on the field pretty soon here. Stephon Gilmore is coming back today. I think that helps them a little bit, but I think when it comes to all these NFC teams that are really good, none of them are perfect. They all have some Achilles heel, something that they don't do quite as well. Philadelphia does not pass the ball as well as the Vikings, right? So, I mean, you've got every one of these teams. Detroit's defense is all banged up. They're all good, but there is something that could get them down the stretch. And I think we're going to learn a lot in these three games of how strong this Vikings team really is going into the playoffs.
Matthew Collar joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. You spoke about injuries. Tell me if you know where Harrison Smith is for today. I know that they brought someone up just to make sure. Is he in, out, or how dicey is this situation? Because he's obviously a huge part of this defense.
Yeah, that's truly questionable because it raised the red flag when he missed a Thursday practice. If a veteran player, misses a Wednesday, you go, okay, it's probably just a rest day. But on a Thursday, that's a pretty important practice for the week, especially on a short week. Harrison Smith would not do that unless his foot was about to fall off. So that is pretty concerning right there. And I wonder if they wanted to. This is just a theory because they have not announced the inactives yet for today. But my theory would be that they want at least Seattle to have to prepare for Harrison Smith. But when they call up a safety from the practice squad, Bobby McCain, it definitely raises an eyebrow. Although I would say I have seen Harrison Smith play through just about every injury that the man has ever had, probably even to his detriment at some points where people say, oh, you know, he's not having a great year or whatever else, and you don't realize how much he's doing just to get back on the football field. But if there's a day that you would want to say, Harry, take this one off because you're in the playoffs, it's probably today. So to get healthy for next week against Green Bay and then, of course, Detroit in Week 18. So I would not be shocked if he didn't play, but you never know because it is Harrison Smith.
I'll give you one last thing real quick that you brought up Philly and their inability really to throw the ball very well, but they run the ball extremely well, as we all know. And they, obviously that was a monstrous signing. Green Bay, sort of the same thing. Teams that can run the football. I look at the Atlanta game. They ran for almost 160 yards. They put up almost 500 yards on the defense that we all brag about all the time, right? About how great B-flow is and all this and that. We give up a lot of yards. We don't always give up all the points, but the yards. Should we be concerned about that? Because I think running the football during the playoffs is really a big piece of giving an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because in front of our eyes, we watch every single play of every single Vikings game. And so we definitely nitpick the team that we watch more than anyone else. Because, I mean, if you look at, and it is a concern about the running defense, but if you look at the team statistically, they're one of the best run defenses in the entire NFL. So that's where I feel like they're really going to get tested these next couple weeks because Seattle does have a good running back. Green Bay, especially, we know, loves to run the football. Matt LaFleur is a wizard when it comes to that. And then in Week 18, you know, Detroit has that incredible offensive line. Even if David Montgomery is out, their other guy is better than Jahmyr Gibbs. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tested as we go forward. I think that we know now what Brian Flores' defense is, which is it's not perfect. You can find some holes in the zones. You can run the football at times against them. But also they are able to create big plays, turnovers, sacks, strip sacks, pressures, things like that. And so sometimes you kind of have to live with the other team having some success at something, knowing that you're going to blow up another play. But, you know, defense is always hard to figure out in the playoffs. Last year, the 49ers had one of the best defenses in the league, and then you know, they almost got run out of the building by Detroit before that failed fourth down kind of turned things around in the NFC Championship game. So I don't know. I really do think that these last few games, we're going to walk into the playoffs either thinking, wow, this team is really, really strong, or you know what, maybe they're going to need some luck if they're going to go deep in the playoffs. But I think these three games are going to tell us a lot.
Matthew Collar, thanks as always. I hope you packed your sunscreen in Seattle. It's nice and sunny there today.
Let's see. Let me look out my window. Not great. No, pretty bad.
No way. It's raining? I haven't heard anything about this.
No, pretty gray out here. Not looking gray. Should be a wonderful walk over to the stadium for me.
Oh, enjoy yourself out there, my friend. Thanks as always. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, buddy.
Thanks. Right, take care, guys.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider. If you don't subscribe, do subscribe. Purple Insider is a great one. Purpleinsider.football. It's a great name, too.